Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's BudPod 177.
177. Fun Devon 11.
Fun Devon 11.
Devon 11. The Fun Devon 11 is a movie about a bank heist in the West Country.
Yeah.
And they just do it for fun.
That's good. And is it all just like celebrities are from the West Country?
Yes, it's...
Russell Howard?
Russell Howard, Justin What's-His-Face.
Yeah.
From back in the day.
Is Dawn French from the West Country?
Wurzel Gummidge. Dawn French... I think she is, you know.
She's got that vibe.
Yes. And then there's what? Seven more people.
Yeah.
But they're unknowns. They're new.
Okay, yeah. And their job is to rob...
Am I still recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their job is to rob... I wish I knew more about Devon. Their job is to rob a beach of all its sand.
And cream.
And cream from the cream tea hut.
Uh-huh.
Have I told you... I've told you my cream tea story, right?
Oh, so many times. No, I don't know.
When I first moved to the UK, I started dating a gal... in Bath, which is in the West Country, and is the starting the opening scene of Fun Devon 11.
Yeah.
And we were walking through the park, and I saw a sign for cream teas, and we were like 16 or whatever, 17. And I said, "Oh, can I get one?" Because I thought I just come from Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
I thought a cream tea was like a milky tea, like a Hong Kong style milky tea, or like a pearl tea, or like a bubble tea.
But to be fair, also you were in the UK now, and you knew that these people put dairy into their tea direct.
Yes.
So makes sense.
So why not? So I thought cream tea was just a cute name for like a sweet. Milky, creamy, luscious
Ooh, it's
tea.
Creamy.
And I thought, oh, this will be nice. It's like a summer's day.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. And then my girlfriend was like, really? She was already starting to lose, she's already starting to lose interest in me at this point. She's already starting not to like me. And I was like, I'm just going to grab a cream tea. And she went, a cream tea? Really? And she's like, I'll just grab it. And we can. And she's like, okay. And I went up to this stall in the park in Bath. And I said, yeah, just a cream tea, please. And then gave him the money, and then lo and behold, she turns up with a scone and like a jam, pot of jam, and you know where this is going, some clotted cream, and then a mug of hot tea.
Yeah.
And at this point I realize I've made a mistake.
Yeah. And now you're a little scone boy.
I've made a cultural mistake, but I'm too embarrassed to say, oh, sorry, I thought this was a completely different thing and I don't want this.
Yeah.
I just went, yep, thank you. Just as expected. And I picked up a tray. And so then we had to like sit down. And my girlfriend's like, oh my God. And we just had to sit down and she had to watch me like spread jam and a 17-year-old boy.
Like you were Walter the Softy from the Beano. I must have my cream tea, Matilda.
So, looking forward to prom, huh? Ooh, careful.
No. No!
Oh, it's a bit hot.
While she
clinkety clankety
slowly
clinkety clank.
Deleted your number from her phone.
Clinkety clank.
It's terrible, isn't it? Because when you're young like that, you don't know what would be best because you go, okay, I made the mistake in her eyes of being a little scone boy. That was my mistake in her eyes.
Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
Yeah. I ate my scone for him. Pa-rum-yum-yum-yum. So that's my mistake in her opinion.
Right, okay.
What's actually happened is I've made a cultural mistake and I didn't know what a cream tea was and I just wanted a drink.
Yeah.
But then you sit and you don't know because you haven't had all your faculties developed because you're 17. And you just go, which is worse? Is it bad to be stupid for not knowing what a cream tea is? And would she accept the testimony of like, well, where I'm from, you know, it's not like this.
Yeah.
And would she be like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And then it's funny. Ha, good.
Yeah.
Or would it be like, well, you don't even know what a... when you still ordered it, you're mad, you know, you're an idiot. Now you're a double idiot.
And I know now, looking back, that the worst thing is to have known what a cream tea was and to have ordered it in those circumstances.
Yeah, to be fair, the worst case scenario is that you're a little scone boy. And that despite the fact that she didn't want one, you appeared to insist on sitting down and very slowly eating a scone.
That's clearly worse. It's clearly worse than saying, oh, sorry, where I'm from. Which makes me exotic and interesting. Yeah. This is different.
Where I'm from, this is full of chewy bubbles.
Yeah.
Who is a great pianist.
Yeah, he's got the leading brand of bubble tea in Malaysia, chewy bubbles. He emigrated from the States.
Yeah, playing that jazz circuit, Hong Kong, Philippines, the various US Air Force bases.
But then he had a sip of bubble tea and he thought, my. this is the real meaning of life. And he put down... Well, no, he picked up his saxophone and filled it with bubble tea and he sucked it up through the reed. And it made a little fun song on the way up. Bubble time blues.
Bubble tea and blue.
Bubble tea and blue, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, on the bubbly side of the street. Folsom Prison bubble tea.
The Great Asian Bubble Book.
Yes.
That was the name of where he published all his songs. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know now that I should have just fessed up.
How soon after that did she decide that Scone Boy
had to go?
Had to go.
Had to be Gone Boy.
Had to be Gone Boy. Scone Boy, Gone Boy.
It must have been a couple of weeks or something.
Yeah, she was mulling it over.
Yeah. She broke up with me, I think because I was too boring.
Was it because, you were just too restrained and polite because that was the culture you were from? Because I found that, like, people expected a level of behavior in the UK that I would have just described as rudeness.
Yeah, and I guess I wasn't very adventurous. And I remember her saying to me, you know, because I want to do things like rock climbing. And I thought, what? You've never said anything. You don't rock climb? What are you talking about? I think she just... she just lost interest.
She meant
had to find a reason.
Spiritually rock climbing.
Yeah. As opposed to
literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wanted to climb the cliff off the beach where you were eating scones.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, obviously not ideal, but still pretty cool to be even trying to date someone at 17.
What do you mean?
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I
guess so. My head of house called me a ladies' man in a speech.
What?
I was like, what? but like, looking back, I dated two girls in 2 years. Well, at the time, you're like, oh, wow, I'm in A-level. That's ages. And you, as an adult, you're like, that's 2 years.
That's two whole years.
At all. I dated 2 girls in 2 years. I was crushing it.
Yeah.
But it didn't really fit with my own perception of who I was. So
sometimes you hear these things from other people from the outside, and it's as baffling as if they went, well, of course, you're Swedish.
Yeah.
What? Who taught? When have I ever given you the impression that I'm Swedish? Well, you know, you're always eating herring and stuff. And you go, no, what?
Yeah. And then you look down, you're literally covered in the Swedish flag. And you're like, oh, I guess.
Oh, I thought it was just a fun color. I don't know. And you look back and you realize it was because they saw you had a tuna sandwich once. They've just formed this mad view of you in their own head. Okay.
I think she's doing quite well now. She's got a kid. I think.
Runs a bakery.
Yeah.
That would be the... You know, either she runs a bakery or she runs a rock climbing center. Those would be the two perfect... the two perfect ends.
Just shivering at me as a teenager.
Oh yeah, no. If you remember yourself as a teenager and you don't shiver, I think you're mad.
I feel shame for things I did not only as a teenager but as a child, as if I'd done them yesterday. And people will, and I'm always amazed when people talk about dumb things or selfish things, or stupid things they did as children and teenagers, yeah. and they laugh about them as if that was a different person.
Yeah.
I feel still that I'm still culpable for all the things I did and that I should have known then what I know now.
You still have scone powder on your fingers.
Yes, it just won't wash off. The scone powder doesn't wash off.
Really, you're that unfair to yourself in the past.
Oh, yeah.
That's like therapy 101 is don't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You need to have Robin Williams hug you and say it's not your fault over and over again.
Yeah.
Like a real therapist. Yeah. Probably.
It's allowed to do.
It's allowed to do, yeah.
Yeah, I've been reading this philosophy book, and a lot of it are... It's all sort of philosophical thought experiments stuff. It's good. It's called The Pig That Wants to Be Eaten.
I've heard of this.
So one of the stories is... There's a pig and they've bred it to actually genuinely want to be eaten. And it comes up to you, you are a vegetarian.
Mm.
And it says, please eat me, please. This is all I've ever wanted. Okay, promise you'll eat me. Promise. And it goes off and it gets slaughtered and served to you. If you're a vegetarian, who is a vegetarian to alleviate the suffering out of animals, do you eat it? Because this is what this pig really wanted.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the story on the cover. But a lot of the other stories are about like continuity of consciousness and what makes you
yeah,
because and Theseus's ship comes up, of course. Sure. You know, we're a collection of ever replacing cells.
Mm-hmm.
With after what, 8 years or whenever your body's fully replenished, are you
yep.
literally, are you the same person? What makes you the same person as the person you were 8 years ago? And it's a continuity of conscious experience, a psychological continuity. And my psychological continuity, even though I have a very bad memory, is for some reason still very, very much tied into buying a scone in a park.
Well, you have too much psychological continuity.
But a bad memory. So I've got the worst of all worlds.
Yeah. Well, does it not work where you're like, I don't know, graduating? You're like, it's like you graduated yesterday. Haha, yeah.
No, because then I'm like, get over it.
Ah, no.
Yeah.
No. That is the worst version of both.
Yeah.
Get over that good thing. Remember the scone?
I'll just remember all the bad things about my graduation.
That, yeah.
That nobody sprayed any drink over me.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
And that I didn't get a first in first year because I missed. I'm feeling awful now because I missed a page at the end of the paper.
No. You didn't look at the back page.
My chest just got tight.
You didn't look at the back page.
I just for some reason I didn't look at the back page. Yeah.
Oh no.
And there's a question I knew how to do.
Ugh.
I don't know. My chest is tight now. My rib cage is collapsing in on itself.
I kind of get that where it took me a long time to think. There's some stuff I get that for. Yeah, I know what you mean, but you seem to have it like more powerfully. Because the scone thing should be long enough ago. And it's of a different magnitude to something like that exam page thing.
Yeah.
Do you think if you had a memory of shitting yourself in a nappy, you'd be like, you idiot, don't shit your nappy. Go to the toilet, you one-year-old. how immune to logic are these feelings?
Well, no, because I know, I'm not mad. I know that...
It's a good thing you said that in such a not mad way.
I know that, you know, if you're a child, you're a baby, you're meant to shit yourself.
Okay, like so it's your fine. Job. Yeah, it's one of your things. Job.
Yeah. Whereas when if you're a teenage boy, you're meant to be
cool.
Mm.
Are you though? Or is one teenage boy meant to be cool out of about 100?
Yeah, but then every one of the 100 thinks they're the one. Or that they should have been the one.
That's true. That they were only ever inches away from total victory,
yeah,
in some indefinable way. Yeah,
I can't believe I've remembered that exam page now. I'm going to be thinking about that for next week.
You're the king of regrets.
I'm the king of regrets.
I'd say
I don't remember any victories. I don't remember anything.
You're the king of regrets. Do you think there's a lot of comedians who, to be fair, are vying for the title king of regrets? I mean, John Roberts speaks of his a great deal.
Yes.
So if you're the king of regrets, he's perhaps the emperor.
Yeah, I don't think an emperor and a king can exist. Have an emperor and a king ever existed?
I think so. Yeah.
two different, like...
Well, it depends what you call a king. I mean, like, there's definitely been emperors where...
Oh, they've overseen kingdoms.
Yeah.
Sure, I get you.
Garrett, our friend and comedian and friend of the pod, Garrett Millerick, excellent, go see his show at the Fringe. He also has the same type of memory.
Right.
Just negative highlights.
Yeah.
Lowlights, we'll call them.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a key to that's how that's what makes you a comedian, because you can remember these like little bad things better than other people, and then when you say them, all the normies are like, "Oh yeah, ha ha."
I don't think so. I think I really gain absolutely nothing from it. I really don't gain anything.
But do you know what I find strange is that I think you're much better than me and better than a lot of comedians on stage at making people laugh using these horrible memories, or at the very least, like.
Really.
You've got a whole bit in your show about the dick bit in your book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You do a whole bit about that. Like, there's a lot of comedians who would never have the stomach for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like selective, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And we should say that we're both at the Fringe right now.
We're in person, baby. That's why you're getting some sweet, sweet 3D sound.
We're in person. We're sat in my little extortionately priced rental apartment. We've got a fake plant on the table here.
Yep.
Is it fake?
Oh, it's a real fake.
Oh, real fake, baby. And we just watched the finale of Better Call Saul,
yep.
Which was very good. And, you know, we're a bit spiritually bereft. I am spiritually bereft at the moment.
Yeah, we also ate a bunch of Nando's. So like, we're digestively bereft.
Yeah.
Of nutrients.
Just to stay true to the sort of Mexican theme of the universe of Better Call Saul, we got some Nando's chicken.
Yep, we got some fantastic... Portuguese/Mozambican-inspired South African chicken.
Yes.
For Mexico.
Andale.
I find Mexican food simply does not travel well.
As in from shop to home or out of Mexico?
Shop to home.
Oh, so literally travel well. Okay.
If you order takeaway Mexican food.
Yeah, that's true.
They put it in foil containers often.
Yeah.
And the level of condensation, Phil, I'll say it, it's outrageous. It's soggy as all hell in there. It's like it's having a little steam bath.
Yeah, you're right. It has to be had straight out of a truck.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles.
The crispness is gone.
When
it's all sweaty.
Yeah. The crispness of what?
The tacos, say. Anything
that's tacos are meant to be soft, really, traditionally, aren't they?
Okay, the hard shell tacos.
Okay.
Whatever. It gets wet.
Yeah.
The burritos, even though they're not supposed to be crispy, they don't do well wet.
Yeah, they get all sogged.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the little sauce bath. It happens with kebab wraps as well. You get the sauce bath at the bottom of the foil.
You get the sauce bath at the bottom of the foil.
A sauce bath with the wettest dough, wettest pastry you've ever seen in your life.
Absolutely, yes. And it's
you
like...
You have to eat the pastry out of the sauce bath like it's... A spicy oyster.
Some kind of soup thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like thick paper at this point.
Mm.
And you're already full. You've had a burrito.
And you can't tell the difference between paper and pastry.
Yeah, you're sort of nuzzling it like a horse.
And just hoping that this isn't paper that you're putting in your mouth.
Yeah. And you'll never know.
And sometimes you know it's paper, but you literally can't be asked to spit it back out.
Yeah.
And you just swallow the paper. And you're like, I think that's a small enough amount of paper that it won't give me any trouble.
No.
I'll just swallow the
paper. And it was soaked in oil.
Yeah. We'll be okay.
And flavor.
So that was our day to day.
Yep. That and watching old Bobby Odenkirk do some good faces.
Yes, it's a good show. And I'm sad it's over.
Yeah.
It's always whenever I finish a series that is brilliant.
Mm.
Well, it's bittersweet, Pierre. It's bittersweet because I'm sad that a very good thing is finished, but I'm happy that I'm free.
Yes, no more homework.
Yeah.
The homework of enjoying another episode of Better Call Saul is over.
You could say, Pierre, and I don't know if... I hope this makes sense, but if watching a really, really good show that has many episodes that you have to watch, it's a bit of a gilded cage.
Hang on. Hold on now.
It doesn't make any sense.
A what cage? Gilded?
Gilded, yeah.
Gilded.
Gilded.
So cage. Like covered in gold or made of gold?
Made of gold.
Made of gold.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Let's break this down. So it's like you're in a cage, like a bird or a prisoner.
It doesn't really matter. Bird, prisoner, tiger, any, you're in a structure that has restrained you and you can't leave.
Restrained, trapped.
Trapped against your will. This is not something you're enjoying. You've not requested to be in it. You're not an exotic dancer in a nightclub from the early noughties.
Sure.
You don't want to be in this cage.
Got it. Okay. Classic cage scenario. But you're telling me that instead of, you know, I'm going to presume here, steel or some Hannibal Lecter glass, the plexiglass arrangement. Kind of, Gold.
Gold. So, which is really beautiful.
Yeah.
And valuable metal.
Yeah. 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 So you're kind of rich, actually.
You're rich, assuming you have some means of translating this gold that is right in front of your face and under your feet into material wealth that could benefit you. But it's very, you can't because you, I don't know, this is hard to get your head around, but even though the whole thing is precious and beautiful, you are trapped within it. So it almost doesn't count. It almost doesn't matter what the cage is made of.
So it's kind of like, initially you'd think that must be great, but then you'd think, oh no, actually, it's as bad as if it was not gold.
Yeah, it might as well not be gold for all that you can do with it.
Wow.
But at the same time, I'd personally rather been a cage made of a beautiful metal than sort of cast iron.
Yes.
Like rusty iron.
And if you could chisel a little chunk.
Hmm.
If you could chisel a little chunk, you could maybe get some cash to buy some lunch.
In the old original German.
Yes, lunk.
Lunk.
Lunk and brunk.
And so watching a very good show.
Yep.
Is beautiful, is well made.
Mm-hmm.
Has intrinsic value, but at the same time, it means you are not free to do other things.
I see.
This cage, this golden gilded
so,
cage.
Yeah, right. So I'm in a cage, but the cage is made of Better Call Saul.
Yes.
And until I sort of watch it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm being limited by it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It's quite a useful phrase, this.
Gosh, yeah.
Gilded cage. You might find it applies to other.
Would you get that
situations.
From like Daniel Kahneman, Thinking Fast and Slow, or like maybe
Gilded Cage?
Yeah.
Or
was it in that philosophy book you mentioned?
It appears occasionally in very like advanced books.
Yeah.
Very difficult and clever books.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try and remember that. I don't think I can really hold it in my mind for too long. It's like trying to have water in your cupped hands. You know, it's not easy. We all forget the equations we learned at school, but
yeah,
I'll give it a go.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I think you'll find it. It gives a lot more than it takes from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the experience of Better Call
Saul. How did that start, this whole thing? Was it Meghan Markle?
Yeah, I think it must have been. I think it was Meghan and Harry.
It was Meghan and Harry talking to Oprah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and she said it as if it was this like incredibly advanced phrase,
wasn't it?
Or,
did I just literally describe
it? Or maybe Oprah
Harry's
did it.
As being
or again. Maybe you, yeah, I don't remember. Very dumb. A lot of fun, though. I love it every time. Every time I'm so pleased when it comes up. Now, hang on. And just putting on a really like, what sort of expression? Hang on. How can a cage be... Hang on. Cages are bad, aren't they?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to come up with as many different explanations of what a gilded cage is.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult.
It's a nice little like game, word game challenge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like playing, was it... not like Pictionary or Articulate.
Yeah.
You can't say the things you've said before.
But every card just says Gilded Cage.
Yeah.
That would be a good sort of ulti-friend show.
It would be. I've been bumping into some lovely pod buds up at the Fringe.
Yes.
Going to Pierre's show. Pierre's excellent show. So funny. I was weeping.
Yes.
People are crying.
Yes.
People are begging for respite. But Pierre gave them no thrift.
They were in a cage
thrift?
Of laughter.
Shrift.
I gave them short shrift.
Short shrift. Thrift is being saving money.
Yeah.
Short shrift. What's shrift?
A shrift is some kind of gown, isn't it? Or
huh?
Like, oh, God, hang on.
I would almost say don't bother looking it up, Pierre, because the Wi-Fi in this...
I have no internet. Yeah, that's a good point.
...is very bad.
Phil's decided to have accommodation with no Wi-Fi, to have a 90s fringe.
But I've decided to pay enough to conceivably buy an internet company.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've definitely funded a mast on top of this building. Minimum, yeah. What do you think the fringe was like in the 90s when there was just no internet in your house and the only TV was like... 3 terrestrial channels or whatever, 4.
It must have been fucking paradise. Can you imagine not having the internet, but not wanting it, not knowing it, not needing it? Well, I mean, you didn't. I don't know. Well, this is a different philosophical question. But not having no concept of it ever existing, and you just, and your life is private.
Private life? You only chat to the people you bump into?
Yeah. You're only made aware of what, 3 opinions a day?
Maximum. And of those 3, 1 or 2, you'd be like, whoa, Jimmy, just...
slow down there. And they go, sorry, I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, you're right, that was unreasonable.
They go, I don't know, you were so opinionated.
Yeah.
Saying that opinion to me in public.
whoa, enough of the opinions, there are women here. Come on, sorry, ladies, sorry.
Sorry, ladies, he's having something of an opinion. Go outside and come back in when you're normal. Yeah, would have been great.
Go outside, take a bit of legal cocaine, and come back when you've settled your nerves.
And then all the reviews and all the stuff that we all worry about up here to an extent, it's all just on bits of paper.
Yeah. Yeah, not broadcast directly into your colleague's eyes.
like in a sci-fi.
Wherever
they are on Earth. You have colleagues abroad who can just tell what's going on with you. Yeah, and also broadcast into their eyes like you've been found guilty of thought crime in some kind of like dystopian sci-fi future.
Yeah.
Or everyone's glasses, like, do not approach Mr. Phil Wang. He has been found guilty of crimes of the first degree in regards to thoughts.
We're all in a comedy minority report.
Yes.
Of, like, reviews being spread into our societies, our communities.
Yeah.
And we just go around, look, I didn't do it. I did. It's subjective.
I did a good show.
Everyone just looks at you silently, turning their heads as you walk down the street.
And as you walk down the street, you can see their little eyeglass things that they're wearing wink red.
Yeah. it's like in...
And they go...
Like in John Wick, where when everyone else is an assassin also. And
disavowed. Yeah, and they all stop. And he gets like a minute to run away. To run down the road.
I think I've watched 2 of the John Wicks. I still need to watch.
Third one's good.
3 and 4 left. They're really fun. I can't see where they can go after number 2. It seems like a bit of jumping the shark. But anyway, we shan't get into the reeds here.
No. God forbid. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the 90s fringes sound like a sort of paradise. And they were like...
5 comedians?
5 comedians. 3 Hamlets.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Only 1 show that went wrong, intentionally.
yes.
As opposed to a franchise of... disastrous shows.
Shows that just can't get it together.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, but it's nice to be back here.
It's apparently a 2009 sized fringe.
Wow. They've crunched the numbers, have they?
Nika Burns said in her opening fringe address, And I don't know what she looks like, but I imagine that lady with big hair from Hunger Games. Welcome, competitor. With like blue lipstick and stuff. We've got some fabulous shows this year. Like
she's dressed as what Joe is it from
Immortan Joe?
Immortan Joe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's got a big oxygen mask on.
Yeah, sort of skull face thing.
Yeah.
She's the head of the awards? No.
I don't even
Fringe Society? Yes. Fringe Charity. She's kind of one of the king's
the awards. The she's awards in, as a company, because they're, I don't know.
She's in charge of, board, she's board a duke of the fringe.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
She's an archduke.
Yes.
Yes, she just her on top of the castle, throwing 4-star reviews out as everyone scrabbles in the mud for them. Do not become dependent. You will resent its absence, that whole thing with the water. Yeah.
God, that was a good movie. I need to watch that
great
again.
Great movie. Oh, a lovely day. She said,
"What a, what a day! What a beautiful day!
What a lovely day!
Is it lovely?"
Yes, I'm so because I remember thinking, "Ooh,
yeah,
a horrible word for that silver painted goblin to say."
Yeah,
she said in her big speech after she said, "Welcome, competitors." She said, "It's yeah, number of shows and number of venues and so forth. Basically, we're at 09 again,
so down from the last one."
Oh yeah, down a decade's worth.
That's good.
It could be good.
Sorry, if this riles some people up, if this rubs some people up the wrong way, but I think it's good for sometimes things to be smaller. I think it's good.
It was. And what's amazing is if you think about that, that means that it's 10 years smaller and all the rent was still tripled in price.
Yeesh.
So that's like even more gouging from the residents and council and University of Edinburgh than we thought. Impressive yeah. work, Lance.
Yeah.
Impressive to gouge during a downturn.
It's a down gouge.
It's a down gouge.
It's a classic down gouge.
We've been the victims of a down gouge.
I've been down gouged. Hey! Just me, like, touching my pockets.
Yeah, patting your body.
I've been down gouged.
Hey, whoa! Yes, I was flicking through the Free Fringe brochure. For the crazy free shows.
Yeah.
Much thinner than normal.
Interesting.
Thinny thin thin. Yeah, at least I think so. It's hard to remember what 2019 was like before the war.
Before the war.
Yeah.
The last peaceful fringe.
The last fringe before a
the
cough.
Last peacetime fringe.
Before a cough was fired in anger.
Yeah.
Now everyone's sitting in caves, coughing up a real storm.
You know, the fringe was started to celebrate the end of the war in Europe. And now is restarted in the shadow of a war in Europe.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
That's good. That's good sort of pattern.
Mm.
It was also started because the main Edinburgh Festival was full of like opera and ballet and stuff, and it wasn't for the normal and the people and the weirdos.
But I think that was the one that was started in 1945.
Oh, that was a festival?
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, when was the Fringe? 50-something, maybe.
Oh. Oh. Where all the freaks emerged. Yeah. The freaks took over the city.
With sort of spooky piano music. Like Nightmare Before Christmas. Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange? As we said, that's what people want the fringe to be.
Yeah, I think of
leotards and so on.
I always think of Hunchback of Notre Dame, where Esmeralda like introduces her to the underla with a rainbow. And the eyes don't see. And they won't be around to reveal what you found.
Because it's like the carnival.
Like pickpockets and...
Oh, yeah. Grubby little underclass people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was supposed to be. Yeah.
And all dressed as jesters.
Back in the day when if you said, if you go to this basement at 11 o'clock at night... And just pay the man £5 and he'll let you in. And then inside, oh, I don't even want to describe it. And it would just be a guy in like a 3-piece suit saying like quite rude things about the Prime Minister. And like people would call the police. Then it kind of made sense, you know.
Yeah.
Like all of cabaret makes sense in the 30s. I've said this before. Because it's like, that lady is wearing a man's hat.
Yeah.
Then it's outrageous.
And that man is... wearing a dining hat when he should be wearing a performing hat. This is not right.
He was singing a song from France. Disgusting. I think that would be enough.
Yeah.
Now it's all, it's a carnival of filth and everyone's fine with it. People are taking their kids to it. It's all completely normalized.
People are literally naked. They literally get, got their, the flanges out and the promontions poking out.
Flanges, promontions.
The squeebs are squeebs, poking out.
Weenuses.
The weenuses are flopping about. The spandulas everywhere. You can't move for a spricket. Spricket doesn't work. Spricket is dumb. Why is spricket dumb and the others work?
It sounds like sprocket sounds mechanical.
Yeah, maybe.
The other sounded more biological and gloopy.
It's also very difficult to avoid tweeness when making up rude words.
Very hard not to go down the old wank puffin road.
You don't want to say cockwomble in 2022.
Look, it was fine for about a minute.
1 minute, a very short minute.
We all had our fill of that poison lake. We cupped our hands, we drank, we continued. Those who linger by the lake, they are not worthy of your respect. That was a bit William Hague.
That's nice. Yeah. Yes, but I did escape the heat of London, which is nice. Mm. I literally felt my body get cooler as the train moved northwards out of London's latest heat wave.
Like you were the mercury in the thermometer.
Yes, very nice. Mm. An upside down thermometer.
Yes.
Where I was falling back into the reservoir at the bottom.
Yes, yes.
Yes, the cool reservoir of mercury.
Well, it was good timing because up until you got here, Edinburgh was 28, 29 degrees, which Yuck. In a city built out of meter thick stone
yeah.
is hell. No windows, no ventilation, just like watching a show breathing air that is tangibly other people's breath.
I mean, isn't it fantastic to think that there was a moment where the Fringe wanted to go ahead in 2020? Thought it could go ahead in 2020.
Insane. Absolutely insane. It would have been like the Black Death. Bring out your dead. Improv at 3. Just like a guy with a cart of corpses kind of also doing a little show. It would have been fucking insane.
Yeah.
There would have been like...
It would have been a massacre.
There would have been Chinese Communist Party sanctions based around the prevalence of the Edinburgh strain, like the fringe version of COVID.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, the rooms are so small and stuffy and packed. I'm getting COVID nervous now.
Yeah.
And in 2022, and I'm pretty relaxed at this point, but even I'm going into shows going, there's a lot of recycled air going on in here.
Yeah. Well, a few months ago, I mean, you know, we're all bold. We would have all gladly rollerbladed through a ward.
Yes.
Just thought, well, it can't get me while I'm rollerblading. Now it is very much like a, would you like to breathe directly from a COVID patient's mouth? Like a sort of mad big cigarette. No, that seems silly. Why attempt it?
But I got COVID for the first time ever, conveniently in time for the Fringe.
You did, yeah. Are you actually the safest of us?
Yeah.
You're the safest of us all.
Yeah. But all in all, lovely. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. Although, I will say, apologies, listeners, we will have to do a slightly curtailed episode.
Oh.
Because we've got shows to do.
We've got shows to do.
And the Fringe don't sleep.
No, she is a demanding but beautiful mistress.
What's a good face?
Beautiful mistress.
Oh, yeah. That's next year's poster. If you haven't seen, listeners, look up Phil's Fringe poster. It's very funny.
I'm so glad I went with that poster. It's, if you haven't seen it, and why haven't you? It's of me, like, I basically look like Florence Pugh in the Midsommar poster, which I love.
Yeah.
I love that poster so much. And it's me wearing a crown of flowers, making it. I've always been told to do a good cry face, and I really enjoy doing cry faces. And it's just me doing it. But I very nearly went for just me looking quite nice and smiley with some flowers. And on the last, at the last minute, I was like, no, let's be bold. Let's go for the weird one. And,
that's what I mean. It's like you're good at undermining yourself in a funny way in that way. If you were a truly arrogant or narcissistic man so worried about regrets, you would have been like, insisted on the pretty one.
Yes. Yeah, or the serious looking one. There is, and no shade to him, the real pandemic this year is of comedians with posters that look like they're in ITV police dramas.
Yes.
I don't really know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And it all looks so serious. There's so many posters this Fringe that look like movie posters. And I don't know why people are doing that. It's false advertising. And people, I think people shouldn't be able to tell straight away that it's a comedy show you're in.
Yeah. I came my poster comes close to that, but the cake
face. You're still doing something funny.
I'm doing something dumb in it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's skirting the edge, but yeah, there are some that do look a bit sort of like 7 o'clock ITV.
Yeah.
Well, maybe more like 9, a bit darker.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah, some Scandi noir looking ass motherfuckers out on the Royal Mile.
Yeah. Wistful.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's the thing this year. Wistful ITV dramas and power suits.
Yes.
Those are the two big things this year.
In my Kahneman groove that I'm often in, I was trying to come up with a name for the heuristic, the bias, or the fallacy that causes people to make poster decisions like this.
Yeah.
So making it look, you know, looking very serious, or making a poster very beautiful and pretty, but very serious, and you think, oh, look at this, it's so interesting, I'm a comedian, but I've done it looking like it's serious. And in that context, it makes sense. But then when it's up against a board of 100 other posters,
yeah,
it's lost all effect. The term I've come up with, best term I can come up with is isolation fallacy.
Ooh.
Where something has value and appears to have value, but only in isolation. And when it's applied against a backdrop of other similar things,
yeah,
it loses its value.
You get it with posters at the fringe that are white. Because on their own, you go, wow, that's striking. It's just like some text on white.
Yeah,
the Beatles' White Album or something, or very bold.
Ah.
And then against this like insane rainbow wall of fuckery, it just looks like a mistake.
Yes.
Or
yes,
like,
yes.
Oh, that's the electrical substation sign. The rest are posters.
Exactly. Or putting like, and I've been guilty of this, putting your name, the title, and putting like a stand-up show or a comedy show.
Yeah.
And you turn up and, oh yeah. They're all comedy shows. They're all standout shows.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's because people get so into the poster as a work of art solo. And they forget that at its heart is a dirty little street-level promotion machine.
You should be designing a poster like up against 100 other posters.
Do you think you should be designing your posters the way those hideous neon fly posters for rave gigs seem to be pasted everywhere? Where it's just like neon green and black. No images,
I'm always amazed that people go to those raves with posters that are like on a railing on a motorway by some traffic lights.
Yeah, billowing.
And for some reason, the only thing that advertises on railings by traffic lights are raves.
Yeah.
And traveling circuses.
Raves, traveling circuses, and if you're in sort of countrysidey highway, a Sunday roast.
A Sunday roast, yeah. Next left.
Go to the circus. Nice daytime. Go to the rave. Pills all night. Yep. You crazy drug boy. Lovely Sunday roast.
Yeah, recover with a Sunday roast.
The next day. Yeah, with the family.
Yeah, just caressing the chicken.
As you're just coming down terribly, just like weeping over your potatoes. Oh, God. Just having this horrible drugs withdrawal.
Yeah, but yeah. People go to those raves and they go to
amazing. They look like a thing that you'd put together if you were either trying to trap and arrest rave goers or kill and eat them. I can't think of anything more suspicious looking than those posters. Anyway,
where are we at time wise?
We're out of time for this. We've got to get into that VIP.
Ah,
we've got to get into that VIP area.
We've got to get into the VIP. What locations have we been discussing? We've got to get into the VIP rave.
The VIP rave?
Yeah.
Sorry, we've got to get our sweet neon dummies or on little chains around our necks.
Yeah.
10 bottles of water. 5 for sharing. Don't overhydrate.
Yes.
And get into that sweet rave.
A girl died once from overhydration.
I always hear about...
Is this an urban myth?
I don't know. I think it does happen, but I think every school was like... And the thing that was bad was actually the water. And everyone's like, what the fuck? That's supposed to be your friend.
She drank so much she drowned. But yeah. Yeah, it has the air of an urban myth about it, but
we've all heard it.
It's a persistent story.
Mm. We'll look into it.
Yes.
After the rave in the Patreon area.
Yes, which you must join if you haven't.
Yeah.
We've met some Patreons up here in Edinburgh, and they've all been so good looking, and they smell nice, and they have their lives together.
Yes, and their eyes sparkle like diamonds.
Twinkly, twinkly, shiny. But see you in the Patreon rave or elsewhere. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.